If you would like to know more about Voice of the Martyrs, we have a whole pile of their magazines back there, enough for one for each individual family, whether you be, or if you're a family of one, back on the resource table. There are also a few copies of the video that you just watched if you would like to take those. There are no costs involved to you if you just like to take them. Voice of the Martyrs is one of those wonderful Christian organizations that is worthy of our prayer, support, as well as financial, as they continue to reach out to those who are suffering. If you've been part of my church family for quite some time, then you know this statistic. More of our brothers and sisters have been martyred in the 20th century than were martyred in the first 19 centuries. It is only going to increase as the time draws near of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray for each other that we will be, as we have learned in Acts chapter 1, men and women of prayer, witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, our Samaria, and to the remotest parts of the world. If you take out your message notes from last week, if you weren't with us here last week, you won't have a copy, but the ushers are more than happy to provide you a copy. You only need to raise up your hand. We are in Acts chapter 2, looking at the first four verses. I have entitled our study, it may be the title with subtitles going through to the end of the book, I'm not sure, but we're calling it the remarkable, spectacular, revolutionary birth of Jesus Christ Church. It is my belief, and I believe it is something that the Spirit of God has impressed upon me, that every GHCCer, you're going to become a part of this, or you're going to be feeling some sense of weight upon your shoulders. It won't be mine. It'll be the Holy Spirit's. But just as the first people who made up the first church, the church that went forward, that shared the gospel, that brought you to faith in Jesus Christ, as they were remarkable and spectacular and revolutionary, so shall we be. Those of us who aren't, we're on the path to becoming that way because God wants us to be this way. Tom tells me I only have 10 minutes and I just started. But I understand that. We've had multiple teachings this morning. We have been taught of the Lord to say, come together and to pray for each other, just as we brought the Linzaus here before us to pray for them. We had the teaching that we need to be seeing our brothers and sisters in this world who belong to Christ and those whom are our brothers and sisters in humanity in this valley who are less fortunate than ourselves to come alongside and be a blessing to them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have been reminded very strongly this morning that there are countless numbers of people who are around the world loving Christ and being punished for their love for Christ, like nothing you or I have seen, nor probably will see in our lifetime. But nonetheless, let's go forward into what we have here and see how far I can get before I get the 5-minute card. If you would look with me at Acts chapter 2, I'm going to set the context. My goodness. I'm going to set the context. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, on this marvelous day, remember, this is the day of first fruits. And not too far into this chapter, we haven't got there yet, but we're going to see that there are going to be the first fruits. Not only those who are in this house who are going to receive the Holy Spirit, but there are going to be 3,000 people in Jerusalem, all Jewish people. Most people don't know that. The first church was primarily Jewish.
They're going to be coming, the first fruits of the Spirit of God to be given to Christ. But nonetheless, here on this day of Pentecost, when it had arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So let's look more closely here at verse 3 there in your notes. He says, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Now, I just read a little bit louder because I'm in teaching mode. But this is the same way I would hope you would come to this passage. Not with this, look here, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them. Interesting. And rested on each one of them. No, you've got to see this in the technicolor that God intended to illuminate this passage to us. He's saying, and divided tongues as a fire, not literally, but as a fire appeared to them. He's saying here, there is this fiery presence in their midst, and it's going to divide in their seeing, and they're going to see all of these like tongues of the fire coming from this fiery presence, and it's going to come and rest on everyone who's in that house. Now, this is amazing. I mean, this is something that only Hollywood would be able to put together for us. But this is something that is supernatural. And God our Father, He made it happen in the sending of God the Holy Spirit into the lives of these people. This is the first time anything like this has ever happened. This is new. This is exciting. This is to be a time where we just go, wow. But so much of the people in the American churches, and it's just, you know, divided tongues. No. So the question I have there for you is this. What are the tongues of fire? What are those? Just as we saw the sound of a rushing, violent, vehement wind, we have come to know that this is one of the descriptions that Luke, who can't put things together very well. He is depending on God the Holy Spirit, who is moving him along to write this marvelous historical book for us. He is being moved along to use divinely given similes so that we see God the Holy Spirit coming into the world. And he comes as this sound of wind. And now we see him as tongues of fire. The answer to the question there, what are the tongues of fire, is the tongues of fire portray the presence of God. The presence of God. Several times in the Old Testament, God displayed himself in the form of flames. Now, you can read on your own the passage I have there in parentheses in Luke's Gospel, chapter 3. But I want you to look together with me here at these other passages. Excuse me, I'm going to cough. Clear my throat. In Genesis 15, 17, let's read this aloud together, okay, church? Let's read it together and with some strength in our voices. Here we go. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch pass between these pieces. Now, what we have here contextually is, put that down. It's not his fault. It's not his fault. I am so excited about this passage. The context of this passage here in Genesis is God is making a covenant with Abraham. That's an agreement. It's a contract. And it regards the promised land. God is promising Abraham and his descendants this massive piece of real estate that everybody else is fighting over today. So This is what he's talking about. And he comes and God manifests himself in this vision to Abraham as a fire pot and a flaming torch. Now, follow along as I read to you Exodus 3, verses 2 through 6. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire. Would you circle that? In a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. Now you and I are very familiar with California brush fires. And when have you ever seen flame in a bush that wasn't burning it all up? I mean, this is something very supernatural. We're looking at, as it's going to be described in greater detail, the very presence of God. So we have him appear to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked and behold, the bush was burning, and yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight. Yeah, I would too. Why the bush is not burned? When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take off your sandals. Take your sandals off your feet. For this place on which you are standing is holy ground. This is consecrated earth. God is here. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look at God. So because my time is really gone, there's two major lessons here that I was going to share with you. The first is, obviously, the presence of God being manifested in that house through the tongues of fire. The fire is the presence of God coming. And he goes to every one of them, as we'll discover next Sunday. And so here is his presence. But the other thing is that I wanted to talk to us about is Moses hid his face. For he was afraid to look at God. And it's been my experience, at least these last 31 years, that as I interact with those in the American church and at Granite Hills Community Church, there are some, not all, this is not a broad brush, but their idea of God, at least by the way they interact with him and the way they live their lives, is like God is, well, okay, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus Christ, his son. But it's kind of like, have you ever bowed before him? Have you ever literally, physically bowed before God just by yourself? You ever just gotten down on your knees? Probably, many of us. How many of us laid prostrate before God with this holy awe, this sense of fear? But even though we understand how much he loves us, but nonetheless, is there that holding awe, reverence for him? And that seems to be absent in far too many. I mean, you think about it. You think about those who you know who are wonderful people you consider Christians that you look up to. And do you sense in their lives that they have this holy, reverential awe for our Heavenly Father, for his Son, for the Holy Spirit? Think about that this week. Think about that. But he manifests himself on the day of Pentecost as this sound of wind and as fire. And we'll look more at that next week as we go forward. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your busyness in our midst. We thank you that you can
even if I were to have taught these last 35 minutes or so, oftentimes what you have taught me, other people will express how they learned something entirely different from what you had me say. And I find that fascinating. And I know that that is the life of your spirit and the life of your kids, and you wanting to draw attention to something specific and literally that we ourselves as an individual need to know about. We thank you for your word, Father. We believe what you tell us in the word, that it is breathed out by you and it is profitable for teaching us what we need to know. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for the needed corrections I know in my life. That it's going to help us to become the men and women, the young men and women that want to serve you. Father, I pray that your spirit would be so strong in us in the coming days, weeks, and years, Father, that if we are ever marched out on some beach, that we would find ourselves looking heavenward and praying for this one who would want to take our life. But knowing what they are doing is a sin to them, but for us, they are releasing us to come into your very presence, and that's where we want to be. To remain here on earth is not why you saved our souls. You saved our souls to lead others to faith in Christ, and when our specific task was done, it was time for us to come and be with you in reward, in glory, to see you as you are, to worship you in ways that we've never been able to worship you here, to know things about you that we've never known about you here. One day, we will be with you in your heaven, and what a glorious, glorious time that will be. So in the meantime, Father, may we be sensitive to your presence here with us. Oh, we can be reminded when we hear the Santa Ana winds come, how you came on that Pentecost. And when we see a flame, somebody lighting up one of their vapors or whatever they call those things, that we remember the Spirit of God when he came on that special day. Or we remember that wonderful day when we were baptized in the Spirit. That one day only when we received God the Holy Spirit into our lives in that moment of conversion, when we responded to your marvelous grace upon our lives, having received that gift of faith, responding to your Son's wonderful sacrifice upon the cross for us. How we thank you for our great salvation. Oh, I'm glad we can earn it, Father. I'm so glad that it's just another manifestation of your great love for us, making it a free gift because Jesus is our Lord and Savior. So it's in his name, Father, that we commit ourselves now. We commit ourselves to sing to Christ. We commit ourselves to sing to you and the Holy Spirit. You are one God manifested in three persons, and we want to bless your holy name in these remaining minutes. So please receive our songs and receive our tangible gifts and use them for your glory, Father. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.